إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So continuing then with this book that we've been doing, Fiqh al-Ad'iyya wal-Adhkar. Today we get to the chapter Dua al-Istikhara. The Istikhara, as many of you will be aware, the prayer and the dua that you make when you are uncertain or unsure of the path to take in a particular affair, whether to proceed or not. So here it says, الحديث هنا عن دعاء الاستخارة الذي يستحب للمسلم أن يقوله إذا هم بفعل أمر لا يدري عاقبته ولا يعرف مآله. That this particular section now we're going to talk about the دعاء الاستخارة. And that is recommended for the Muslim to read, to make the dua, when you are considering doing something, but you're uncertain, and you have concerns as to whether this particular action, when you do it, the consequences or the end outcome of it, whether it will be good for you or not. You're uncertain of whether it's the right thing to do or not, whether the consequences or the outcome of that will be good or not. And so it is recommended for the Muslim to pray and to do the dua of istikhara in those circumstances before then proceeding with that affair. فَفِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِ عَنْ جَابِرِ ابْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رضي الله عنهما قال. So in Sahih al-Bukhari, from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما, he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة في الأمور كلها كما يعلمنا السورة من القرآن. That the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us the dua of istikhara in all of our affairs, just as he used to teach us a surah from the Quran. He used to teach us about the istikhara in our affairs, just as he would teach us a surah from the Quran. يقول, so he would say, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ. That when one of you is concerned about an affair, when you're concerned about an affair, it's on your mind, you don't know, you have some worry about the affair, it's something of importance to you, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكَعَتَيْنْ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Then pray two raka'at, a two raka'ah prayer, other than the obligatory prayers. A two raka'ah nafal prayer, not one of your obligatory prayers. So pray two raka'at from other than the obligatory prayers. ثُمَّ الْيَقُلْ, then let him say, meaning after you've prayed your two raka'at, then at the end, you've given your salam, then say, make this dua, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik, wa astaqdiruka biqudratik, wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim, fa innaka taqdiru wa la aqdir, wa ta'lamu wa la a'lam, wa anta 'allamul ghuyub. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري، أو قال عاجل أمري وآجله، فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه. وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري، أو قال عاجل أمري وآجله، فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه، واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم أرضني به. قال ويسمي حاجته. This is in Al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to read this dua, the dua that we've just read there, to recite that particular dua after praying two raka'at, and that is the dua that a person reads for the istikhara. This particular dua then, you say, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. That, O Allah, I am seeking from you that you select the best for me in my affairs from your knowledge that you have regarding everything. Then select for me the best in my affairs. أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك. And I seek from you that you decree the best for me. وأسألك من فضلك العظيم. And I ask you from your great favor. For indeed you are able and I am not able. You are all capable of all affairs and I am not. And you know, وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. You know everything and what is going to happen, and I do not know. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. You are the one who is the all-knower of all the hidden and unseen affairs. So then you say, اللَّهُمَّ إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ يُسَمِّي حَاجَتَ. That, oh Allah, if you know that, whatever the issue is, you then mention it. Oh Allah, if you know that, this particular issue, whatever it is, you then mention it in the dua. If you know that this is good for me in my religion, and in my life, and for the end results from it. If you know that all of this is good for me in my religion, my life, and the consequences and end results that will come from it. Or the narrator said, perhaps he said, عَاجِلِ أَمْرِي وَآجِلِهِ. That if you know this is good for me in my current affairs and in my later affairs, this will be good for me now and in the future, then in that case, decree it for me. فَقَدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي. And make it easy for me to achieve. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. And then on top of that, put blessing in it for me, in this particular affair. وَإِن كُنْتَ. But then you also say in the dua, but if you know that this particular affair, whatever it is you mention in your dua, is bad for me, in my religion, and in my life, and for my future, and the consequences, now and in the future, if you know it's bad for me, then remove it from me and remove me away from it. And decree for me better than it. Decree for me something better than it, wherever that might be. And then make me happy with that other thing. Make me happy with whatever it is. That is the general meaning of the dua. We'll come to the detailed meaning of it now, section by section. So, هذا الدعاء العظيم المبارك الذي أرشد إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا المقام، مقام طلب الخيرة في الأمر الذي يقدم عليه المسلم. This tremendous and blessed dua that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم directed us toward. The messenger directed us towards this dua, indicated to us, highlighted to us this particular dua to be read, to be recited, to be said at that time when you are uncertain about your trajectory, you're uncertain about whether to proceed with a particular affair or not. وَهُوَ مُتَرَدِّدْ فِي مَآلِهِ. And it's an affair that you're uncertain about the future consequences from it. Will this be something that turns out good, or will it be something that doesn't turn out good for me? You're uncertain and you're unsure. هَلْ هُوَ إِلَى خَيْرٍ أَوْ إِلَى شَرٍ. Will this thing turn out to be good, or is it gonna turn out to be bad for me? You don't know. وَهَلْ هُوَ إِلَى نَفْعٍ أَوْ إِلَى ضَرٍ. And is this something that will be of benefit, إِلَى نَفْعٍ أَوْ إِلَى ضَرٍ, or will it be something that is harmful? Whatever this action is that you're thinking about doing, whatever this matter is, will it be something that leads to benefit, or will it be something that leads to harm? You have uncertainty, mutaraddid, hesitancy regarding the affair. وَهُوَ عِوَضٌ لِأُمَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ عَمَّا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مِنْ زَجْرِ الطَّيْرِ وَالِاسْتِقْسَامِ بِالْأَزْلَامِ إِذَا بَدَتْ لِلْوَاحِدِ مِنْهُمْ حاجة من نكاح أو سفر أو بيع أو نحو ذلك. This dua, dua al-istikhara, is what has been given to us as Muslims to replace what the people of Jahiliyyah used to do in these circumstances. In Jahiliyyah, before the spread of Islam, before the revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before that, the mushrikun in Jahiliyyah, when they were in a situation of hesitancy, of uncertainty, they don't know whether to proceed with that affair or not. When they were in these kinds of circumstances, in Jahiliyyah, they used to rely on omens. They used to rely on omens. And they had lots of different types of omens that they used to rely on. Some of them, for example, when they had something they were uncertain of, maybe unsure of, whether to proceed or not, one of the things they used to do was, in the morning, throw a stone into the tree. Throw a stone into the tree. And there are birds sitting on that tree. So when you throw a stone into the tree and the birds are sitting on the branches, obviously the birds are gonna fly out when that stone hits into the branches. So they would throw the stone to make the birds fly out of the tree. But the key for them was, when the birds fly out, which way do they fly out of the tree? If they flew out of the tree in a particular direction, whatever direction they had, if they flew out in that particular direction, they would say, that is a good omen. We threw the stone and the birds flew out that way. That's a good omen. Let's go do what we were going to do. Let's proceed. We got the good omen from the birds. But if they threw the stone into the tree and the birds flew out the other way, the wrong way, as they believed, they would say, that's a bad omen. We threw the stone and the birds flew out the wrong way. Forget it, we're not going to do what we were planning. It's going to turn out bad. Because the birds, they showed us the omen. That's what they would do. That is an example of what they would do. Maybe they had a decision to make on whether to go on a particular journey. And they were deciding, shall we set out on this particular journey to some land? Maybe they want to go do business there. So they would load up their camels and their caravans and they would travel out to do business in some faraway land, in some other country. So maybe they were uncertain, shall we go or not? This time of the year, will it be profitable when we go? Or are we just going to end up making a loss? Shall we go or not? So then they would do these omens. Throw the stone in the tree. If the birds fly out the right way, they say, that's the good omen. That's it. Let's go. But if the birds fly out the wrong way, they say, that's a bad omen. Forget it. Forget it. Cancel the trip. That's what they would do in Jahiliyyah. If they wanted to marry, one of them wants to get married. And so he's uncertain. Shall I marry this woman or not? This particular woman, shall I marry her or not? So he's uncertain. They would do those kinds of things. Maybe do the stone. The birds fly out one way. That's a good omen. That's it. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to agree to it. But the birds fly out the wrong way. That's a bad omen. Forget it. I'm not going to go ahead with this marriage. These are the kinds of things they would do in Jahiliyyah. And they had lots of different types of omens they believed in. Lots of different types of omens they used to believe in. They used to believe that if somebody was murdered in your family, if somebody was murdered in your family, that if after that murder took place, if an owl came and landed on your roof of your house, that this was an omen. It was an omen from the owl telling you, you have to go seek revenge. If you don't, then this is going to happen to you and that's going to happen to you. They believed it was an omen if an owl landed on your roof after someone got murdered in your family. And so then they would go and behave in various ways and actions that they would do believing in that. They used to believe, for example, the month of Safar, one of the Islamic months in the calendar. They believed that was a bad luck month. Just like these days, people have all of their evil suspicions and omens, things like Friday the 13th. In Jahiliyyah, they had that. In Jahiliyyah, these practices you see from the people now, they came from Jahiliyyah, from the shirk of the mushrikun. Friday the 13th, they used to have that. They used to have the whole month, the month of Safar, one of the Islamic months. And they wouldn't go out on journeys and they wouldn't go out on trade, business trips, and they wouldn't get married in that month, believing this is a bad luck month. Just like they believe now Friday the 13th is bad luck, and walking under the ladder is bad luck, and the black cat is bad luck, and smashing the mirror is 7 years bad luck. All of these things, haram and shirk in Islam. It is shirk to believe in those types of things and these omens. So Islam gave us a substitute to get rid of all those behaviors of Jahiliyyah, all those actions of Jahiliyyah, the omens and things they used to believe in. Get rid of all of that with a dua of Tawheed that you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking the Lord of all of mankind, of all of creation, who decreed every single thing. Just like in the hadith it mentions, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلْمًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed the decree of everything that is to occur 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So Allah is certainly in control of all of the affairs and has decreed all of the affairs. In the other narration about the pen, أول ما خلق الله القلم قال له اكتب قال ما اكتب قال اكتب كل ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. أو كما قال, but when Allah first created the pen, Allah said to the pen, write. The pen said, what shall I write? Hadith. The pen said, what shall I write? Allah said, write down everything that is going to happen up until the day of judgment. So here we have been given this dua, dua ul-istikhara. You're uncertain whether to proceed upon a certain course of action, then you do not turn to omens and star signs, your birth signs, Sagittarius and all these things they talk about. Those star signs, Cancer and all those things. You don't read those star signs to decide whether you're going to do something or not. The star sign tells you this month this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And soon you're going to meet someone and this will happen. And all of these lies, complete lies and haram and shirk. Palm reading and they read your lines and this shows this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Complete falsehood and lies. The crystal ball that they do, complete falsehood and lies. The tarot card readings, complete falsehood and lies. And impermissible and haram for a Muslim to even engage in that, looking at it or watching it, haram. If there's a TV show and now they're doing all these crystal ball readings and tarot cards, haram to watch the show, haram. You cannot say, I'm just, you know, let me see your interest. I'm just out of interest, let me see what they're doing, how they're doing it, let me see what this guy's talking about. I know it's all rubbish, but out of interest, haram. Haram to watch those things. Haram to watch magic. When they have TV shows or whatever it might be, YouTube and these things, and there's magicians claiming they're doing magic, and you think, let me just see, I know they're upon falsehood. I know it is all falsehood. Let me just see, let me see what he's doing. Haram. Haram to watch the magicians. And these are all hadith, so many in the sunnah telling the Muslims these things. So here we've been given a substitute to wipe out the omens that they used to practice in jahiliyyah with tawheed, with dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَطْلُبُونَ بِذَٰلِكَ عِلْمٌ مَا قُسِمَ لَهُمْ فِي الْغَيْبِ وَهَذَا ضَلَالٌ وَسَفَهٌ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وأما أمة الإسلام فقد هداهم الله تعالى إلى مراشد الأمور ومفاتيح الخير وسبل السعادة في الدنيا والآخرة ومن ذلكم هذا الدعاء العظيم الذي هديت إليه هديت إليه أمة الإسلام. So in Jahiliyyah they had all of those false practices, but this ummah has been guided to the correct and upright affairs and has been given the keys to goodness and the pathways to happiness in this world and in the afterlife. And this dua is one of them. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, وَعَوَّضَهُمْ بِهَذَا الدُّعَاءِ الَّذِي هُوَ تَوْحِيدٌ وَافْتِقَارٌ وَعُبُودِيَّةٌ وَتَوَكُّلٌ. That Allah gave them this to replace the affairs of Jahiliyyah. Allah gave them this dua as a replacement. This dua which is upon tawheed and submission and subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upon trust and dependence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسُؤَالُ لِمَنْ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ. And you are asking the one who has all of the affairs of goodness in his control. الَّذِي لَا يَأْتِي بِالْحَسَنَاتِ إِلَّا هُوَ وَلَا يَصْرِفُ السَّيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا هُوَ. You're making dua to the one that all goodness comes from him, no one else, from Allah. And all bad, whatever is going to occur, comes from the decree of Allah, not from anyone else. And that is like the narration we've mentioned before, the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا, all of them, All of the people, وَلَوْ اِجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If all of the people, everyone got together to plan and plot against you to do something bad to you, they would not be able to unless it was something decreed by Allah. And if all of the people gathered to do some good for you, they would not be able to unless it was something decreed by Allah. الَّذِي إِذَا فَتَحَ لِعَبْدِهِ رَحْمَةً لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَحَدٌ حَبْسَهَا عَنْهُ. So you're asking Allah, the one who, if He grants that mercy to you, then no one can prevent that mercy from you. وَإِذَا أَمْسَكَهَا لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَحَدٌ إِرْسَالَهَا إِلَيْهِ. And if Allah withholds that mercy from you, then nobody can release that to you. If Allah withholds it from you, then nobody can release that to you. Not through التطير والتنجيم واختيار الطالع ونحوه. Not through any type of omens, any type of astronomy or astrology and star signs or any type of affair from those omens and matters to that like is not going to release the mercy of Allah to you if Allah withholds it. فَهَذَا الدُّعَى هُوَ الطَّالِعْ الْمَيْمُونَ السَّعِيدِ. This dua, this is the correct methodology and pathway to tread upon. طَالِعُ أَهْلِ السَّعَادَةِ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ. This is what the people of happiness and those who have been guided to success tread upon. الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى لَا طَالِعْ أَهْلَ الشِّرْكِ وَالشَّقَاءِ وَالْخِذْلَانِ الَّذِينَ يَجْعَلُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. So this is the correct path to tread upon by making this dua of istikhara, asking Allah, the Lord of all of creation, the one who decrees and controls all the affairs, not upon the methodology and pathway of the people of shirk and the people of misery, those who have betrayed, been betrayed, and they make partners alongside Allah, and they will come to know. فَتَضَمَّنَ هَذَا الدُّعَاءَ الْإِقْرَارَ بِوُجُودِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ والإقرار بصفات كماله من كمال العلم والقدرة والإرادة والإقرار بربوبيته وتفويض الأمر إليه. So this particular dua, within it is an acknowledgement of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an acknowledgement of the attributes of perfection that Allah has. You mention it throughout the dua that you know, O Allah, and you are the one capable and I am not. It has an affirmation of the attributes of perfection of Allah. It has an affirmation of the rububiyyah of Allah, that He is the one who controls all of the affairs. It has an affirmation within it that you place your trust with your affairs to Allah. You place your trust with your affairs to Allah. وَالِاسْتِعَانَةَ بِهِ, and that you seek aid and assistance from Allah. وَالتَّوَكُّلَ عَلَيْهِ, and that you put your trust in Allah. Just as the prophets and messengers they did, when they threw Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire, after he broke their idols and destroyed their idols, they made that huge fire. So big, nobody could even stand near it. They had to stand a long distance away. Anybody got near it, they would burn their skin from the heat. So when they threw Ibrahim alayhi salam into it, they couldn't take him next to it and push him in. Nobody could get close to it. It was so fierce in its heat. So they had to catapult him in from a distance. And yet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah and the best of protectors. And so the fire was made cool and safe, and it did not harm Ibrahim alayhi salam. The same in the battle of Uhud. In the battle of Uhud, after the Mushrikun, Khalid ibn al-Walid at that time was with the Mushrikun, when they came and they attacked the Muslims and 70 of the Muslims or so were martyred. The uncle of the messenger was martyred, Hamza. The messenger himself was struck and his helmet was dented and his tooth was broken and he fell down in the battle of Uhud. And they began saying, we got him, we got the messenger's dead. Then after that, Abu Sufyan, who was in charge of the mushrikun at that time, in the battle of Uhud, they sent a messenger, someone to take a message to the Prophet ﷺ, and they told him, we're coming back. It's not finished yet. This was after they had left now after Uhud. They said, we haven't gone back. We're coming back for you yet. We've gathered the army. We're coming back to finish off the rest of you. Because they'd already killed 70 or so of the Muslims. They'd killed the uncle of the Prophet. They were now feeling like they were in the ascendancy. That they were in the ascendancy. So they said, we're coming back. We're going to finish off the rest of you. In the Quran it tells us about that. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُ. That the people, the kuffar, have gathered their armies against you. They're coming back to finish off the rest of you. So fear them. But instead of fearing them, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It increased them in iman. And they said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah is sufficient for us and the best of protectors. And they went out. The messenger went out again. And he took the Muslims with him. The same ones who were in the war of Uhud, in the battle of Uhud, with him. And they were injured. They had injuries and they had blood and they had wounds. And they all went out injured like that to fight again. When Abu Sufyan heard that they've come out again to fight us, he wasn't expecting that. He was expecting they would be afraid. But when he heard the messengers coming out again, fear struck him and they turned around and fled to Makkah. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. So this dua of istikhara, it is an indication of your trust that you place in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your affairs. Wal khuruj min ahdati nafsihi wa tabarri من الحول والقوة إلا به. This dua also indicates that you recognize you do not have any ability yourself, and that it is only by Allah, by His command and His ability, that you are able to do what you do. You are not self-sufficient by yourself. واعتراف العبد بعجزه عن علمه بمصلحة نفسه وقدرته عليها. And you also recognize by making this dua that you yourself don't know what's good for you. You yourself don't know whether this thing is going to turn out good or not. And you recognize that this is from Allah only. That this is in the knowledge of Allah only. وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ بِيَدِهِ وَبِيَدِ وَلِيِّهِ وَفَاطِرِهِ وَإِلَهِهِ الْحَقِّ. إلى أن قال والمقصود أن الاستخارة توكل على الله وتفويض إليه واستقسام بقدرته وعلمه وحسن اختياره لعبده وهي من لوازم الرضا به ربا الذي لا يذوق طعم الإيمان من لم يكن كذلك وإن رضي بالمقدور بعدها فذلك علامة السعادة. So this indicates that you're putting your trust in Allah when you make this dua of istikhara. And if afterwards, whatever turns out, however it works out, you are pleased and happy with that, however it worked out after that, then that is a sign of your happiness. Sign that you are upon goodness in your heart. That you put your trust in Allah and then however it worked out now, it's worked out in that way. وَمَا نَدِمَ مَنْ إِسْتِخَارَ رَبَّهُ بِعِلْمِهِ الْمُحِيطِ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَاسْتَقْدَرَهُ بِقُدْرَتِهِ الْكَامِلَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَسَأَلَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ الْعَظِيمِ. And nobody will ever regret it. You are never going to be in a state of regret after you do istikhara and then proceed with an affair. You know that you made the dua to Allah and now whatever it is, that is how Allah has decreed it for you. You're never going to regret the affair. Whereas somebody who doesn't put his trust in Allah and instead goes and does things how he does, then you end up regretting this and regretting that, and I shouldn't have this and I shouldn't have that. But you make your dua of istikhara, then you proceed, you have nothing to regret thereafter. And Jabir radiallahu anhu said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَلِّمُنَا الْإِسْتِخَارَةَ فِي الْأُمُورِ كُلِّهَا كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us the istikhara like he used to teach us a surah of the Qur'an. فِيهِ دَلَالَةٌ عَلَى شِدَّةِ اهْتِمَامِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم بهذا الدعاء والمحافظة عليه والعناية به. So the fact that the messenger used to teach them the dua of istikhara like he used to teach them the Quran shows how important this dua is and how much importance the messenger gave to it for the companions to learn it. So when the messenger said, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ, that when one of you has an affair that you're uncertain about and you don't know what to do, whether it's about a particular journey to go on, whether it's about marriage, to marry someone, whatever it might be, you're uncertain, you're hesitant, you don't know whether it's going to turn out good or not, then in that particular situation, you can make the istikhara. And the istikhara is not made in a situation where something is obligatory or something is impermissible. If something is an obligation for you to do Islamically, then you've got to do it. There is no istikhara in that. And if something is haram Islamically, then it's haram. There is no istikhara in that. Istikhara is in the affairs that are permissible, whether you should proceed with it or not. So what do you do? فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكَعَتَيْنَ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. So then you pray two raka'at, a two raka'ah prayer. Pray a two raka'ah prayer that is not from your daily prayers, a separate prayer. And so the reason why that is done, because the actual dua you make it after the prayer. But the reason why the prayer is prayed first is so that you precede your dua with that prayer to Allah. And that is from the means of your dua then being accepted. So, لِتَكُونَ صَلَاتُهُ مِفْتَاحًا لَهُ لِنَيْلِ الْخَيْرِ. So the prayer is like a key that opens up that goodness for you in the istikhara that you're asking about. There is nothing mentioned in the sunnah about what you're supposed to recite in the prayer. Sometimes there are hadith that tell you which surahs to recite. Surah Al-Kafirun, Surah Al-Ikhlas. It tells you which surahs to recite in some prayers. In the istikhara prayer, it doesn't tell you in the sunnah which surahs you're supposed to recite. So it's open. When you pray that prayer, you can recite whichever surahs you wish to recite. Then after you've done that prayer, ثُمَّ الْيَقُلْ, then the messenger said, the person needs to then say. And many of the scholars, they say, that is after you finish the prayer. You pray your two raka'ah prayer, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, then you do your dua al-istikhara. That is what most of the scholars say. But it's possible that this hadith, the way that it is worded, it is possible, maybe, that dua is supposed to be done at the end. And then when you finish the dua, then, assalamu alaikum, that you do the dua at the end when you're sitting after you do your tashahud and everything. Do your dua then before the salam. Possibly, it is possible. والأفضل أن يرفع يديه عند الدعاء لأن رفعهما من أسباب إجابة الدعاء. But what appears to be the case, is that it's done after the salam. You finish your prayer and then you raise your hands and make the dua after the prayer. ومن كان لا يحفظ الدعاء وقرأ من كتاب فلا حرج عليه. So if you want to make istikhara and you haven't memorized this dua, then it's permissible to recite it from a paper, your phone. It's permissible to recite it from something if you haven't memorized it. وعليه أن يجتهد في إحضار قلبه والخشوع لله وصدق في الدعاء. And when you're making that dua al-istikhara, you're supposed to be making it with your complete heart, fully focused in it. This is something very important to you, this issue that you're asking Allah about, and you don't know whether you need to be doing it or not. So you need to be focused in that dua fully with your heart, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this matter and whether you should do it or not. So then you say, Allahumma, inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. O Allah, I ask you to select for me the goodness in the affairs and to guide me to the goodness in my affairs with your all-encompassing knowledge of everything. Guide me to the goodness in my affairs. وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And I ask you by your ability to decree for me the best. And I ask you from your great favor. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Because you are capable and I am not. And you know and I do not. And you are the one who has knowledge of the unseen. You affirm all of this greatness to Allah. And you recognize your weakness. You don't have any of this. But Allah is the one who has the ability. Allah is the one who knows. Allah is the one who has knowledge of the unseen. So then you say, oh Allah, if you know that this affair, whatever the affair is, you actually mention it. Oh Allah, if you know that my marriage to so-and-so is good for me and it will be good for me, then decree that for me and that goodness for me. If you know that will be good for me in my religion, in my life, in my future, then decree that for me. But if you know that this particular affair, whether it's this marriage or whether it's this trip or journey to somewhere, if you know that is bad for me in my life, in my religion, in my future, then take that away from me and remove me from it. And instead, bring me some goodness. And we missed, in fact, the part with the first one. Decree the goodness for me then if you know that is good for me, and then bless it for me. Bless that thing for me. And then the second part, if you know that it is bad for me, then remove it from me. And keep me safe from it and guide me towards where the goodness actually is for me instead. And then make me happy and content with that affair, whatever it may be. This is the dua al-istikhara. And a person raises his hands because, as we mentioned in the first chapter or the first volume, raising your hands is from the means of your dua being accepted. So you raise your hands and you make that istikhara when asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those affairs. That brings us to the end of that particular chapter. That's where we'll end today. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue with the next chapter next time. Any questions or anything up to there? Possibly. No, it's possible. If you have a couple of issues here, it's possible. Because in all of the issues, you are asking for the same thing. If you know it's good for me, then decree it for me and bless it for me. So there could be a couple of things right now. It's possible. It's possible it could be put together. There's nothing preventing that as such. If the narration says, هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, which is singular, if you know this affair is good for me, then perhaps based upon that you could argue that only one issue should be mentioned. But Allah alam if there's any prohibition in adding the second.
So should you...
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay. I've heard that some people say is that if you make istighfar, tasbih, tahmeen, and tahmeen, takbir before you do the istighfar after the salah, is that normal? And then read a... That's what I've been told, is to read a salawat after that and then do the dua istighfar.
They have references for it or not? Some of those things, we've been speaking about them in the previous chapters. They are all from the adhkar. They are all from the adhkar of Allah. To say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. To read the dua, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We mentioned all of those things. And those things are from the greatest of the praises to Allah. And Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, when you do all of that, that is one of the means of the dua being answered, it's mentioned. So maybe they use general narrations to say that is something to be done, but whether you can say that is something specific to the istikhara and aids the istikhara, then you have to have a proper evidence for it. There would have to be some hadith that says, do these things, then do the istikhara. I'm not aware, Allah alam, if there is. But generally they are adhkar. Generally they are good things to do. Generally they are good supplications. Hmm.
So while making the dua istikhara, the part where you mention the affair, can you mention it in your own language?
Possibly, if a person is unable in the Arabic language and he don't know how to do that in the Arabic language, it is allowed. Just like in sujood, it is allowed to make your dua in your own language if you cannot make it in Arabic for something specific you want. Hmm.
Do we make the decision first? Or like, have two things. Do you make the decision first, then make the dua? Or like,
it's not really about a choice between two things. When you make istikhara, you're not really asking Allah about a choice between two things. It's more like you make a decision where you want to go from the choices. Then you ask Allah, if this thing, the decision that you've made you want to go on, is good for me, then decree it for me. Because otherwise, how are you going to phrase it in the dua? The dua doesn't tell you about an option. The dua doesn't say, oh Allah, if this one is good for me, then decree it for me, and what about the other one then? And then the other side, if that one is bad for me, it's not about an option. You are now, if you've got an option between two things, so you think about those two things and you work it all out and you're thinking probably this one. That's where you're leaning towards. So now you make your istikhara, if this one is the better one for me now, if it's good for me, then decree it for me. If it's not, then don't. And maybe something happens and it's not decreed for you, end up with the other one afterwards perhaps. But it's more like when you're decided on something and then you make your dua on that, oh Allah, decree it for me if it's good. But it's not about a choice that you're asking Allah, tell me which one to do. And this is sometimes a mistake people think when you do istikhara, that you're necessarily afterwards going to get some dream or something, mashallah. And in your dream it's going to tell you exactly what to do and how to do it. And you're making istikhara about a car. And in your dream, you are told in your dream the keys, they come and they are dropped outside your letterbox or something. It's not like this. It's possible. It's possible somebody may have a dream. It is possible. But that is not necessitated. People think you do istikhara, you're going to have a dream telling you exactly what to do. It doesn't work like that. It could be. It could. But otherwise, it is signs. There may be signs. You make istikhara, you want to buy a particular car. It's an expensive car, £10,000, £20,000. And you make istikhara before you go ahead and buy it. So then when you go, after you made the istikhara, you get to the dealership and they say, oh, there's a problem with the paperwork. We have to wait an hour. So then you wait an hour, then the paperwork comes and they say, oh, actually, even the one that they've sent us, it's a mistake. That's the wrong paper. We got to wait again. Maybe signs start to appear. And then whilst you're waiting for the paperwork, you go outside and you look at the car and you start noticing damaged areas they hadn't talked about in the description or showed you about before. And all these signs maybe start adding up. And then you think to yourself, actually, you know what, I'm going to leave it. So it could be like that. It's not like a dream comes to you telling you in your dream, don't buy the car. So there could be signs that occur after the istikhara indicating to you whether to do something or not to do something, perhaps.
Is it permissible to
repeat
the istikhara multiple times if you're confused about an affair?
Multiple times, yes. Sheikh bin Baz, I believe, has the fatwa that it is allowed. That if you make istikhara and afterwards you're still confused and you don't know whether to proceed, that you can make istikhara again. Hmm.
How do you stop yourself from like making istikhara about things that are not important? Is there, should you only do
a person
important?
Needs himself to have that kind of right mindset. You're not going to start making istikhara on trivial things, on minor things that are not really of any great importance. Even if it didn't work out good, it doesn't really affect anything. you're not going to start making istikhara on small, insignificant things that even if they turned out bad, nobody even cares. It doesn't even affect anything hardly. So it's got to be something of significance, something major. You know, not something minor that's of insignificant things. You know, so you're going to buy something for £10. You're not really going to make istikhara on some item you're going to buy for £5 or £10. Even if it turns out good or bad, you've lost £5 or £10. It's not done anything to you, inshallah ta'ala. But something £10,000, now you might want to make istikhara on it.
Istikhara, you have to do yourself or somebody else can do it?
No, you do it yourself.
These are, they ask for, you know, some people ask for money or they ask for money, you have to pay. They do it.
No, these are, mashallah, professional con artists. You don't go to people and give them money and they're going to make dua for you, they're going to do this for you, they're going to do that for you, and they make, mashallah, millions. Istikhara, why do you need to go to someone for them to make istikhara for you? Simple, small dua, like 5 lines long. Even if you don't know it, it's permissible to have the book in front of you and you make the dua. Why do you need someone to go do it for you and you're going to pay them £200? It's incorrect, it's wrong what they do these things.
You said to pray two rak'ah, sunnah, just normal.
No, just a normal two.
No,
just a 2 rak'ah optional sunnah, nafil prayer, that's it.
They have to be specific time, is there any time given?
I mean, there's the rulings about the prohibited times of prayer. So perhaps if you you should avoid the prohibited times of prayer. There's 3 times or 5 times if you break it down. Like after Asr till Maghrib is considered a prohibited time. Midday is prohibited. After when Fajr time enters, these are certain prohibited times. But the rest of the day, any time you can pray your 2 rak'ah and you make your istikhara.
To add on to this point, with regards to praying it whenever during the day, would it be a time where it's best, for example, the last third of the night, where
would
be better to do than other times, or is it just the same whenever you do it?
The last third of the night has a more virtuous, there's more virtue to the last third of the night. We all know about the hadith, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِذَا بَقِيَ ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْأَخِيرِ وَيَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِذَا بَقِيَ ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْأَخِيرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in the last third of the night, every night. And then says, مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأَعْطِيَهُ. Who is asking me and I will give it to them. So yes, that's a virtuous time. If a person wakes up in the last third of the night and you pray your night prayer and then you pray your istikhara at that time, that's all good. It's a virtuous time and perhaps you could say it's a better time. But any time during the day, if a person wants to pray, it can be prayed and the effect is there. What else?
Is it permissible to repeat the dua 3 times? Because that's one of the means to check the dua.
No, but that is generally. In this, for the istikhara, it has not been specified to do that. That is for general dua. But here in the istikhara, it hasn't been specified to do that, to repeat it 3 times. It would have been in the hadith as obvious then. It would have been that the messenger said to repeat it 3 times. That would have been in the narration directly then. Anybody else? Alright, we'll leave it on that for today. You have like Telegram groups, or how do you advertise? You know, whatever the groups are, you should all sign up to the groups because the class isn't always on every Sunday. Sometimes I can't make it. So if you sign up to the WhatsApp or the Telegram or whatever it is, then you can be kept up to date as to whether the class is on or not. Usually the default is every Sunday night, 8:30. But over the next 6 weeks, I know that there's going to be a bit of disruption. There's some Sundays I cannot make. So sign up to the Telegram or WhatsApp or whatever exists here so that you're up to date every week on the class if it's on or not, inshallah.